On this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, we follow Morpheus down the rabbit hole and discuss Christian themes in The Matrix. How is God revealed through Morpheus? Is he more of a Christ figure than Neo? All that and more in 3, 2, 1. Come on in. Admission is free. Grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode 15. I'm Michael.
And I'm Brendan.
Join us, and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear, as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, their plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation and ultimately our Christian walk. You are tuned in to Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
After 2 weeks, Brendan, do you know what it is? It is our six-month episode!
Yay! Thank you, kids. Thank you.
Oh,
thank
and they've you. Been with us the whole time.
Do we even feed them?
No.
Oh.
That's why they keep, they keep performing and hoping for payment.
Oh,
that never comes.
I know that feeling.
Hey, you know what? It's been 2 weeks, Brendan, and I don't like waiting 2 weeks.
I don't.
We started the show for, I would say, at least half the episodes was on an every other week schedule, and then we had the brainstorm. You know, this isn't working. We can't keep up with the news properly, and so we went to an every week, and now I'm addicted to the every week episode, but we couldn't do it last week. Why?
I was kind of sort of out of the country
doing the Lord's work.
I mean, yeah, you know, doing that Great Commission kind of thing.
That is awesome. The Great Commission outside of the Great Commission Transmission Network studios. Yeah.
Yes, I know. Who'd have thought it actually exists out there?
It works. In fact, you were giving me a little bit of a recap of your time down there. I had some great work that you guys were doing. Tell us what was going on.
Oh, well, Michael, this year we see, you know, like I said, I don't know if I mentioned it on the last time, but we divide up the whole group, and this year we had about 50. I think we had about 34 from our congregation in Shelbyville, and then a team from Virginia joined us, so there was about 14 of them, so it was about 51 people. And we divided up into three different things each day. One group stayed at the City of Children Orphanage, and, you know, we got to play with the kids. We had to, you know, do some cleaning around the place. Another group went out and did benevolence work, you know, handed out food packages and sung with and prayed with, you know, people who needed it or who at least wanted it. And then the work project this year, we got to, I hate to put it this way, but we picked up the slack where another congregation left off.
Well, what's that all about?
Here's what I mean by that.
All right.
Well, apparently 7 years ago, seven years ago,
wow.
There was a congregation from Oregon that had put up the concrete walls to a new church they were going to build, and then they left.
Oh,
and the congregation that worships there, they had still been worshiping in that concrete wall, in those concrete walls.
Wow,
no roof, nothing on the inside, nothing but a concrete foundation and the cement blocks.
But it was a place for them to gather together.
It was. It was. It was a place, but it was
unfinished.
It was unfinished, and our group this year, we felt called to at least get it rolling again. So we put up. We started the new roof. We got up 23 trusses, and I'm pretty sure it's finished by now. Having been a week ago.
What kind of roof? But, like tin or
yeah. When we left, we had half of the tin roof up.
Okay. And then you had arranged another congregation to come down and finish up, or were they going to do the work?
Oh, no, they were going to finish it up because they now had the supplies to. Like, they had always been willing to work, they just couldn't get the supplies. And now, and we left the supplies there, you know, and they wanted to finish it, so they're finishing it, and hopefully it'll encourage them a little bit.
You know, a lot of people, Brendan, take umbrage with Christians that will leave our current country in order to go to a foreign country in order to
perform mission work like this. They say, hey, why are you leaving? You know, we got enough work here in our backyard. I want you to, and I don't agree with that. I want you to, and why don't I agree with it? Because the borders of God's kingdom knows no bounds. It doesn't recognize nations. You know, there are, I mean, the Bible is very explicit about that. We are one people out of many people. You know, it really is e pluribus unum is the kingdom of God, right? Out of many one. But I want you to recount the story of that that dear lady that you folks helped out last year, have a bit of an update from this year.
Okay, well, last year we met a woman named Sylvia, and Sylvia was living in a 9x10 shack with three grandchildren.
Wow.
And I don't know.
Just what do you mean by shack?
I mean like a wooden shack.
Just a lean-to, or
no? There were four walls and a roof.
Okay,
but hardly anything inside. Anything substantial. I mean, they had blankets.
Okay,
you know, they were living there, and the mission program that we partner with whenever we go to this area, they had found Sylvia and they presented her to us, and we decided to help her. So last year we built her a house. I'm trying to remember the exact. I can't remember the measurements, but she's. It was like the standard.
Yeah.
The standard Adobe. You know, not Adobe, but you know what I mean. Like
Anybody that's been to that part of the world knows.
Yeah. The house had electricity now.
Wow.
Running water, a fully operational kitchen.
Yes.
Living space and space enough for all the kids to sleep and for Sylvia to sleep.
And what was her reaction when you folks presented her with that?
Oh, she cried. it was so moving. And
hey, why? Because Jesus came and visited her.
Yeah, no, that's true. Through us,
yes,
she got a taste of heaven. I think
that's beautiful. Okay, continue on.
Well, I wish it were a happier ending. Well, it's not really ended yet. At least I don't think so. Sylvia had a stroke this past year in January, and you know we wanted to visit her while we were down there because you know our schedule works it out to where on Thursday we don't have to do any of the mission stuff. We can just have like a relaxed day, and you know that's what we use to go visit downtown Ensenada.
Yeah.
Well, she lives, can't remember exactly how far, maybe like an hour's worth if we're going by time, in another society called Manandero. And, you know, she lives up on the hill. It's all these hillside villages, and that's where the house is. And, you know, we wanted to take a little trip up there to visit her, check in with her. And when we got there, we found her in a hospital bed that had been brought to the house. She had a ventilator in. She had a feeding tube in, and the doctors were convinced that she's in her last days.
That's terrible.
So, yeah,
that's terrible. Let's ask all the listeners out there of Finding Christ in Cinema to lift Sylvia up in your prayers and for her family and just that God's will be done and no matter what His will is that they will be comforted through that and find comfort in the loving embrace of the Heavenly Father's arms. That's tough. But God bless you. I know that you guys enjoyed spending time with the kids orphanage and just some great stuff. And so you plan on going back next year?
I plan on going back every year.
Lord willing. All right. What else is going on?
Well, I got the new Monday movie review up.
What'd you review?
Reviewed that old... Oh, I don't want to say old-fashioned teenage romance movie, but The Fault in Our Stars.
Boy, that book is all the talk amongst adolescent young
it
ladies,
is.
Especially.
It is.
So, what are we going to find out when we read your Monday movie review?
Well, one thing you're going to find out, and I'm glad I found this out. The story isn't about cancer. That's
good.
I mean, that's an element.
Because I did see the preview, and what a depressing movie.
Oh, it's not well.
It is. Come on. Oh, don't give it. No, don't do anything. There, did that.
Ooh, that was too close for comfort.
Hey, let's leave it with this. Everybody get over to ChristInCinema.com and look up Brendan's Monday movie review. In fact, just click at the tab at the top menu and read all of his Monday movie reviews and keep up with them. You know what? I didn't get up a new family movie night post because we haven't watched any movies since the last time. It's been so busy around here with birthdays. Well, this month, all the girls, every girl in the family, and there's four of them, just boom, 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 four birthdays in, the span of 3 months. And,
wow.
Yeah, so it gets crazy. And, 4 months, right in a row. But I've been spending I've been reading, Brendan, and I'm still working on the Thrawn trilogy by Timothy Zahn. The Star Wars, you know, you're all into Star Wars and all that stuff. So yeah. I'm still in the second book, Dark Force Rising, and I hadn't touched these books in two decades, and I am just I'm all in, baby. Also, another thing, I know you want to jump in and tell your Star Wars stories and stuff, but so as I'm considering movies to review and whatnot, I'm going on Netflix and Amazon Prime, Instant Video and all that stuff. What can we watch? Well, I came across Stargate. Stargate's on Netflix.
Stargate, yeah.
I haven't seen Stargate in a long time, and I know that there's a huge sci-fi community that loves Stargate.
I haven't seen Stargate.
Oh, well, you can watch it on Netflix now. And,
good.
And the first movie, it's good. David Spader.
Wait, David Spader or James Spader?
Yes.
James Spader.
Yes, James Spader.
There's a difference between David Spade and James Spader.
Sorry.
Woo.
Hey, let me start that over. Other than Kirk Russell, it also stars James Spader.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I like James Spader.
Yes. So that's a fun movie. Well, then I said, the next thing after that was, the Stargate SG-1 television series. Started that the other night and got through about 10 minutes and turned it off. Said, I'll try that again some other time.
That's a shame.
Other than that, anything else?
No, I think it's... Oh,
no, what? Well, we're a solid 12 or 13 minutes into the show already, so let me remind everybody on Finding Christ in Cinema, if you don't want to hear our opening chit-chat, you don't want to hear the next segment, which is going to be real fun, real news, you can skip into the show about 20 or 25 minutes to get to the meat and potatoes. We are going to be talking about...
The Matrix.
Yes, the very first episode, the first in the series, in the trilogy.
In the trilogy.
Well, now we know that we covered that on Real News quite a few episodes ago, that they're wanting to do some more of those. But so jump down to the show about 25 minutes, and in the meantime, Brendan, do you want to...
Let's get some real news, Michael.
All right.
Roll it. Yesterday... The Capitol released a message from President Snow.
Oh, President Snow!
This is Capitol TV.
Since the dark days, our great nation has known only peace. Ours is an elegant system, conceived to nourish and protect. Your districts... of the body. The capital is the beating heart. Your hard work feeds us, and in return, we feed and protect you. But if you resist the system, you starve yourself. If you fight against it, it is you who will bleed. I know you will stand with me, with us, with all of us. Together. As one. Pan Am today, Pan Am tomorrow, Pan Am forever.
Oh, propaganda at its finest!
Yes! Oh.
Oh, wow.
The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1 comes to theaters November 21st.
What else can be said?
Oh, chills.
Yes.
Chills. And guys, you really need... We got a link to the show notes, or a link in the show notes to the trailer on YouTube. You gotta watch it because President Snow is not the only one standing or present in this
on camera
trailer on camera and during the message itself.
Deadline.com, Tom Hiddleston to play country and western legend Hank Williams.
No, I think you mispronounced that. It's Tom Hanks.
Well done. You get a big yeah, studio audience like that, too. I just unleashed him.
Yes.
He's a clever man.
There's that woman who keeps laughing.
Everybody's favorite prodigal son, Loki, will be heard singing such hits as Your Cheatin' Heart, I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry, and many others as he stars in the film based on the Colin Escott biography of Hank Williams. Taken from the book description, quote, long considered the last word on Hank Williams, this biography has remained continuously in print since its first publication in 1990. Has received 4.2 out of 5 stars on Amazon.com. I put it in my wish list. I am a huge Hank Williams fan, and I cannot wait for this one. But it had better be done well. I like Tom Hiddleston.
I do, too.
At least as Loki. That's all I know. I think he's a fine actor. And he's planning on singing these songs.
And he's been in, as Loki, in Thor 1 and Thor 2.
Yes.
And and then also in the Avengers.
The Avengers.
What else has he?
Well, he'll be in the next Avengers, but
Age of Ultron, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't look him up. I know he's a hot commodity right now.
Yeah,
he's a good actor. Good actor. And also, I mean, the world, how long has it been since we've had some proper country music? So I'm looking forward to this.
I know my brother will be going head over heels to the theater to see this movie.
He's a good kid.
Yeah, he likes Hank Williams. He likes Hank Williams Senior and Junior.
I'm glad that he likes Senior. Mr. Mark Taylor, you are doing a fine job with your boys. I just thought I'd say that. Go!
Ben Kingsley has been cast as the voice of Bagheera, the Black Panther, in Disney's 2015 live-action/computer-animation combo adaptation of The Jungle Book, according to Rebecca Ford at The Hollywood Reporter. This adaptation is being directed by Jon Favreau.
It's going to be great.
Yes. Who last worked with Kingsley in Iron Man 3.
Great.
Kingsley played the Mandarin, you know,
yes,
the puppet villain. I'm not going to spoil that, but Kingsley was the Mandarin, and Favreau continued his playing of Tony Stark's confidant, Happy Hogan. No spoilers. sorry. Of course, Warner Brothers is also going on with its own adaptation of The Jungle Book under the direction of Andy Serkis.
Why would they do this to us?
I don't know.
See, I have to see both.
Yeah.
But Ben Kingsley, sold right there.
Yeah.
Right there. I will watch any movie that man is in. Great stuff.
Did you like him in Iron Man?
I didn't see number 3.
Oh, no. Okay.
But Hugo? Have you seen Hugo?
Yes.
One of my very favorite movies. And he was brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. Pick a little toggle, pick a little toggle, cheek, 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 talk a lot, pick a little more. From theonering.net, Peter Jackson has approved the trailer for The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies. Theonering.net, or we'll just call them Torn, because that's what they call themselves. Their first-time source says that the trailer still needs to be rated. But hopefully, and they're crossing their fingers, this means we'll see marketing for the final Hobbit film cranking into gear in the near future. This is very much a rumor mill. They say that it's their first-time source and whatnot, but I just added it to the list here because I wanted to have another opportunity to say that now that I know that this movie franchise has very little to do with J.R.R. Tolkien, I actually like it. Do you hear that, Saruman 2.0?
I know I'm excited for it, and I know I'll probably see it at least twice this Christmas season. So,
well, there you go.
let's go back to the river mill. Ben Affleck, and we know about Ben Affleck recently.
Yes,
as the new. Well, I don't want to say. Oh, he is the new Batman.
He is.
I'm reserving judgment.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck is rumored to star in the next standalone Batman film, currently entitled The Batman, which may or may not land in theaters in 2019, according to Dave Trumbore of Collider.com. As if we don't have enough Ben Batfleck in 2016 Batman.
Did you say Ben Batfleck?
I did.
Oh, God. He said it.
As if we don't have enough of him in 2016's Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice, and in 2018's Justice League, he may be getting his own movie. It only makes sense because he's got this multi-deal or multi-film deal with the company already.
Yes.
And it may seem like a stretch, 5 years in the making, but Warner Brothers has got to step it up if they're going to keep up with the Disney Marvel powerhouse, whose plans already stretch out into 2028.
Okay, you were covering this story, so I left out. I have a link to a big, gigantic story regarding they have cast a guy as Aquaman.
As Aquaman,
okay,
yeah.
In that Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice movie, that movie is so swollen with gigantic names. But they also had a list of that was released just before Comic-Con of their planned releases, and it includes they're saying that. This movie isn't technically Superman 2. It's not Superman Man of Steel Part 2.
It's not.
And, well, it has been billed that up until now, where they're saying, nope, you know what, the second Superman movie will come out in 2018. And so then you got the Batman movie, and they're talking Flash and Green Lantern team up.
Well, now Flash is getting a TV series.
Oh, man, you know what? I was going to talk about that many episodes ago. Everybody, you have to go and look up the Flash TV show extended trailer. It's like a 4.5-minute trailer, goosebump inducing of a character that I've really never had any
attachment
affinity to. Yeah. But this looks incredible. Well, now we're going off on a tangent. So let's get back. FirstShowing.net. Sony Pictures lands Captain Nemo script. In the recent past, the writings of Jules Verne has been brought to the big screen via Journey to the Center of the Earth and Journey to the Mysterious Island. Disney had even hoped to remake the classic 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, but was unable to get it going. That's okay, folks. You can watch the original 1954 version because it is a classic, and you can read all about it on Finding Christ in Cinema at ChristInCinema.com.
Yay.
I have reviewed that as a family movie night blog post there. But anyhow, now it looks as if the main character, Captain Nemo, may still make it to the theaters.
What?
Sony/Columbia Pictures. I don't know how that whole thing works. But anyway, they have a script from Smallville creators, Alfred Goh. Or is it Gough? Van Gough?
I think it's just Alfred
Goh.
Gough.
And Miles Millar with a new take on the mysterious Captain Nemo. We need a deep sea adventure.
We
Brendan.
Do. We haven't had one. What was the last one? The last good deep sea.
1954, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Read all about it at ChristInCinema.com. Little Mermaid?
No. Ooh, no.
What?
That's not an adventure.
Yeah, it was.
Nah,
epic.
What? Get out of here.
Oh, goodness.
Daniel Radcliffe to star as Igor in 20th Century Fox's new twist on Mary Shelley's world-renowned monster novel, Frankenstein. In this adaptation, now entitled Victor Frankenstein, the story will be told from Igor's perspective.
Intriguing.
Yes, yes.
Tell me more.
I will.
Okay.
I didn't put it in the show notes, but I found out who's playing the Doctor.
Who?
Get a Doctor Who.
That's bad.
Okay, well, first of all, okay,
I'm editing that out.
You've got no. Don't
let me write down the time code.
No, stop it. Daniel Radcliffe is Igor. James McAvoy will be the new the new Doctor Frankenstein. Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
That'll be interesting.
Mr. Tumnus.
Well, I was gonna say Professor X, but
no, he's always Mr. Tumnus.
He's the new Professor X.
Nope, he's Mr. Tumnus.
He's the new. Have you seen Future Past?
No.
According to Dave Lewis at HitFix.com, the story will follow, quote, the troubled young assistant's dark origins, his redemptive friendship with the young medical student Victor von Frankenstein, and become eyewitness to the emergence of how Frankenstein became the man and the legend we know today, end quote. Now, fans of the novel, of course, will remember that Igor was never in Mary Shelley's story, nor was he even in Universal Pictures' original Frankenstein film. He was instead added to the myth later by Universal Pictures' sequel, Son of Frankenstein.
And Young Frankenstein.
And Young Frankenstein. Woo! Now, I know Bela Lugosi played him in Son of Frankenstein.
No, Frankenstein. He's in the original Frankenstein.
He was in the original? Yes. Are you sure?
Yes.
Are
you sure? I have it. Universal Pictures.
Are you sure he wasn't Fritz?
Oh, are you talking... Oh, Igor.
Talking about Igor.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, yeah. No. I'm sorry. I thought you said Boris Karloff.
No. Bela Lugosi.
I got to stop paying attention to running this show.
And watch out. Lon Chaney, Sr. and Jr., they're about to pop out. Victor Frankenstein will hit theaters October 2nd, 2015.
Ooh, exciting. Are you ready?
Go ahead. Boy, Michael, I'm glad you talked about Star Wars, because I don't know if I could contain myself.
Deadline.com. Ryan, why would you spell your name like that? I don't know how to pronounce it. Ryan Johnson, I'm going to say, to direct and write Star Wars episodes 8 and 9. Lucasfilm is making a deal with Looper writer, director Ryan Johnson to write and direct Star Wars episodes 8 and 9. Essentially, the intention is for Johnson to take the franchise from J.J. Abrams. Johnson is the talent behind Brick, Looper, and several episodes, Brendan, of Breaking Bad.
Oh, yes.
He joins Abrams on the main franchise entries, as Godzilla's Gareth Edwards and Chronicles Josh Trank are assigned to make the spinoff films.
Ah,
I don't know these people. I don't know Ryan. I haven't seen any of these things, but everybody is saying that this is awesome.
Looper is actually a good science fiction film.
I'd like to see that one.
Okay, yeah.
That's he goes back in time and
Bruce Willis. He's a time traveling hitman
and trying to kill himself.
Well, through plot development, Michael.
Oh okay.
One of his targets becomes his past self. Yes,
crazy.
What's that spoiler alert button?
I don't know.
Oh.
Rumor mill! Oh, the rumor mill! Here it comes. Firstshowing.net, Star Wars Episode 7 could be pushed to 2016.
Oh, yeah.
On the previous episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, we reported that Harrison Ford sustained an ankle injury on the set of Star Wars Episode 7. Now it appears that his leg was broken when a retractable door collapsed.
I thought these problems were supposed to be fixed in the future.
In CG, with computer graphics. They could just go in and...
Yeah, just edit it out.
Yeah. He broke his leg, sir. I edited it out. All right.
He did no such thing.
Yes. Well, so what was at first said to be an approximately 8-week recuperation time has been stretched to upwards of 6
wow.
months. Well, he is 71 years old, after all. This is a big problem if, in fact, Han Solo does play a major role in the film. With that in mind, the rumor is that the film has been pushed back to 2016. However, this just in... on Facebook.com. Earlier on the Star Wars Episode 7 news group, 539 days they posted until the release of Star Wars Episode 7, and no, it's not delayed.
Oh.
So all the children say...
That's right, children. That's right.
And Brendan is happy as all get out.
I sure am.
Brendan, you ready to go to the movies?
I'm buckled in, baby.
Have you ever had a dream, Neo, that you were so sure was real? What if you were unable to wake from that dream? How would you know the difference between the dream world and the real world?
It's the question that drives us, Neo.
What is the Matrix? It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth. You are a slave born into a prison for your mind.
The Matrix is a system, Neo. That system is our enemy.
Try to realize the truth.
What truth?
There is no spoon.
Human beings are a disease. The cancer of this planet. You are a plague. And we are the cure.
So you're here to save the world.
I'm trying to free your mind, Neo. But I can only show you the door. You're the one that has to walk through.
It seems that you've been living two lives.
I've seen an agent punch through a concrete wall. Men have emptied entire clips of them and hit nothing but air. Everyone who has fought an agent has died. But where they have failed, you will succeed.
So what do you need?
Guns. Lots of guns.
No one has ever done anything like this.
That's why it's going to work.
Mr. Anders.
What are you trying to tell me? That I can dodge bullets?
No, Leo. I'm trying to tell you that when you're ready, you won't have to.
Yes. Oh,
Brendan, yes. The Matrix, the first Matrix, the best in the series so far.
Yeah, yeah.
First impressions. Oh, do you remember seeing this movie?
I do. I didn't see it in theaters because it is rated R, I think.
And you were 10.
I was 10 when it came out. And
gosh,
I'm old. Anyway.
I was 30. I was older then than you are now. Okay, carry on. I'm depressed. Go.
Don't be like that. I can't remember the exact first time I saw it. I know it was on TV, because I remember thinking, oh, man, this would be so much better without commercials. You know?
Everything would be.
Right. And, it was just really cool. And I think it kind of solidified my interest in modern science fiction movies, because it's just so cool, the idea that, you know, robots are controlling the world, but only because we created them to do it.
Yeah,
see, that's a thought.
Yeah,
that is a thought, and
that's actually being discussed in the tech communities right now. The abilities that we have now with nanotechnology and robotics and AI, artificial intelligence. But continue on.
Just a note, like I said, I can't remember that year specifically as it revolved around this movie, but 1999, there was a lot going on that year. It was on the brink of the millennium.
Yeah.
There was all this Y2K.
Y2K.
Y2K. I remember that. Yep. And I can't remember if it was Newsweek or some really popular magazine had this cheesy graphic of the face of Jesus on a computer layout.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is what Y2K is all about, guys.
Wow.
I remember that. But, like, you know, there was all this cultural and philosophical shifts happening everywhere. And actually, this film also shares the release year with Fight Club.
I've never seen the Fight Club.
Well, even if you have, you're not supposed
to talk
about
it. Right.
So there's a lot of ideological stuff going on in this film, but it's not watered down at all by any of the action, I don't think.
Right.
And, or, you know, listeners may disagree, but I think it's a pretty good, solid piece.
You know, piggybacking on what you were saying about it revolutionizing science fiction for a new age and stuff, I agree 100%. And I've always been a sci-fi, fantasy. I mean, those two genres, which can actually be melded into one, that is what moves me. That's what I'm drawn to. I want good sci-fi. And Matrix was absolutely life-altering. I haven't been able to say that in several episodes.
I know.
Now.
That was refreshing.
So that felt good.
That was good.
Cleansing breath and everything. Okay.
Right.
So it was absolutely, and the action, which in many other movies, you were talking in your Monday movie review regarding The Fault in Our Stars. You're talking about the X-Men movie, and there's only so much of constant, you know, a barrage of action and cerebral content that one can take.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, you just want to sit down and relax and just, you know, enjoy yourself.
Uh-huh.
Well, technically, that could be applied to The Matrix, but it doesn't fit because the action is part of the story.
Yeah.
I mean, it is telling a story in and of itself. It's not like a Transformers 3, Dark of the Moon.
It's not just Michael Bay explosions.
Yeah. I mean, I've said before, I fell asleep during the action sequence in Dark of the Moon. It was too much. It's like, come on, man. We need a, what's that called? An intermission. Give us an intermission.
Right. And all, and all the kids say, what's that?
Hey, Man of Steel even got real close to violating that as well. It was
to putting you to sleep.
No, to just being overblown action.
Well, oh, okay.
Well, The Matrix is, and that's what grabbed me. The very first scene, where Trinity is in that dark room, and they go in there, and all of a sudden she's doing all this crazy stuff.
She does that classic scene where she just jumps up in the air and the camera around her,
and that was a revolutionary. I can't remember what they call it. Bullet time. Filming, and I think that's what it was called.
Film friends, I know you're listening.
Yes, let us know.
Yeah, let us know what these techniques are.
For some reason, that term is sticking in my mind. And it was developed for, or at least made popular by The Matrix, and it told a story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so right off the bat, what is going on here? Life-altering.
What is this new world
that
we're seeing? And later it turns out this is a world, I think, 200 years.
Yeah, a couple hundred years in the future.
Yeah, because, so what does he say? He says, this is the year, this is what your year is, 1999. This is the actual year. Like, it's like 2199 or 2299, something like that. It's way on out there.
And that world is also, we know from the film, it is a form of slavery. It's a form of bondage. And I submit that it is an allegory or analogy of sin itself.
Take it away, Michael. Oh,
because this movie is this has Jesus and the gospel and salvation written all over it. But we're going to take it in a little bit of a different direction than what most people probably anticipate that we are going to discuss today. Thomas A. Anderson, also known by the hacker alias Neo, knows that something is not right. He knows this. There are things that are inappropriate. You can see how he's looking around at things, seemingly mundane, everyday type of things, right, Brendan? Like that scene when he's in getting chewed out by his boss in the office, and he just keeps looking at the guys cleaning the windows, and just a look on his face, you know, something's not right.
Yep.
Something isn't right. He's seeing things that are inappropriate, out of place. We would say that something is amiss. And he's feeling his way in the darkness because he doesn't know what these feelings are. He doesn't know what's driving him. He just knows that now he's groping about in the darkness, trying to find answers because he doesn't know what exactly it is, but it's called The Matrix.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and he is seeking one called Morpheus, who has answers, he hears. And it's in this search that he encounters another hacker named Trinity in a club, and all of a sudden, up here comes this character.
I know why you're here, Neo. I know what you've been doing. I know why you hardly sleep, why you live alone, and why night after night you sit at your computer. You're looking for him.
Ooh, who is this lady? He said, who are you?
That's what he gets for following the White Rabbit.
Oh, he did. Mm. Oh. So anyhow, he is looking for something. She knows that he's looking for something. And this reminds me of Acts chapter 17, verse 27. We mentioned this verse in Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 4, which was our second part on The Wizard of Oz. This wasn't our linchpin verse, but it fit nicely in there. And as we're going to discover as the show goes on, so many verses fit into so many, you know, contexts and whatnot. Acts chapter 17, verse 27 from the New Living Translation. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way, even through the darkness like Neo, feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. It also reminds me, Brendan, of a couple of verses. Let's go back to the Old Testament. Let's
How dare
go back
we?
To the book of Deuteronomy. What do we know about the book of Deuteronomy? Oh, let me grab my handy-dandy paper Bible here.
Now, Deuteronomy means
Well, it's the second law. The law
the
given,
second,
us,
yeah, okay.
given a second yeah. time. And so the first generation of Israelites, boy, keep Michael. Maintain yourself. Don't go on a big fat rabbit trail. Don't follow the white rabbit. Don't follow the white rabbit. That's what I'm going to do. Okay, real quick. The first generation died out. Why did they die out in the wilderness? Because when the spies were sent to spy out the land of Canaan,
yes,
and they came back, Caleb and Joshua, of course, were, hey, this land is awesome. Let's go up there and let's get it. And the rest of the spies said, nay, nay.
They were like, oh, no. Did you see the people living in the... Did you see those guys? Did you see them?
So we need to go to Numbers chapter 13 and read a little bit about the spies' report there at the end of the chapter. When they returned from... And this is from the New American Standard Bible. When they returned from spying out the land at the end of 40 days, they proceeded to come to Moses and Aaron and to tell all the congregation of the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Thus they told him and said, we went in to the land where you sent us, and it certainly does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there.
Ooh.
Amalek is living in the land of the Negev, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and the Electrolytes, and all living in the hill country.
Wait,
and the...
what? Did you say the Electrolytes?
Do I got to go through the whole list again?
It just really sounded like you said the Electrolytes.
And the Canaanites are living in the by the sea and by the side of the Jordan. Then Caleb, our hero, quieted the people before Moses and said, whoa. We should by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are too strong for us. So they gave out to the sons of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone in spying it out is a land that devours its inhabitants and all the people whom... So they give this bad report. All the people of Israel said, we're not trusting Caleb. Let's go. Hey, get rid of Moses. Get a new leader. We're going back to Egypt. We should have died in Egypt. Or at least in the wilderness. What is all this?
What an attitude.
Absolutely. And so in Deuteronomy, when that generation died out, because that was their consequences. Okay, you're not going to trust me. God says you're all going to die in the wilderness, except for Joshua and Caleb, right? And so in Deuteronomy chapter 4, God is giving a word of advice to the new generation that is about to go in and inhabit the land. And he's basically saying, when you go into the land, you are going to break my covenant. And when you do break my covenant, all these bad things are going to happen, and you are going to be dragged out of your land. You're going to lose all of your possessions. You're going to be taken to a foreign land. And you there, chapter 28, in a foreign land, you will worship idols made from wood and stone and bits and bytes and circuit boards and diodes and, gods that neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But from there, you will search again, Neo. You will search again for Yahweh, your Elohim, the Lord your God. And if you search for him with all your heart and soul, Neo, you will find him.
Hello?
Hello, Neo. Do you know who this is?
Morpheus.
Yes. I've been looking for you, Neo.
Oh. And this reminds me of the story of Zacchaeus.
Wow.
Oh, Zacchaeus. Oh, dude.
He was a wee little man.
Yes.
And a wee little man was he. He climbed up on the sycamore tree.
Luke 19. Okay. In Luke 19, Jesus had an appointment with this little man, Zacchaeus. He had an appointment with him since before the universe was created, Brendan. And he was looking for Zacchaeus. But Zacchaeus was also looking for Jesus.
Yep.
So here's what happens. Jesus enters Jericho, Zacchaeus, a little tax collector. Nobody likes him.
Nope.
Because he's a tax collector.
A little beady-eyed.
Yeah. And guy. And he can't see over the crowd, but he knows that Jesus is coming, and he wants to see Jesus. And so he runs and climbs up into his sycamore fig tree, or what have you. Jesus passes by underneath that tree, looks up, and says, Zacchaeus. Doesn't that right stop right there? Proves my point. He had an appointment with Zacchaeus before he even created the universe. Because he comes into town, looks up, Zacchaeus, come down quickly. I've been looking for you. The crowd goes nuts, says, this man's a sinner. What's Jesus doing?
How dare he?
Yep. What is Jesus doing? But what do we know from the text? Luke 19:10, Jesus says to him, hey, the Son of God, or the Son of Man, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. Lost. He's going to save those who are lost. Save from what? He's going to save them from the Matrix.
Ooh. Yeah.
What is the Matrix? We already said it in your little teaser. Slavery. Bondage. We know that. From what Morpheus tells Neo when he gives him the truth about... Neo's just... Let's listen to Morpheus.
That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage. Born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch.
Oh, you are a slave, and Morpheus is going to free Neo, just as Paul wrote to those in Romans chapter 6, verse 18. What was that? Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. What does that mean? Well, he goes on, he explains it further to the church, you know, in Galatians chapter 5, says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you are free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law, which makes me think of the character Cypher.
No, Cypher. What a weasel.
Well, what did he do? He wasn't free.
No. Well, he was free.
Well, he didn't.
He preferred.
Right.
He preferred the slavery.
He did. He was like the Egyptian. I mean, the Israelites wanting to go back.
Right.
Says, don't get tied up again in slavery to the law, Cypher. You're a good example for us in the movie. There's Cypher.
Who would have thought, Cypher? Right.
And so just before Neo takes that step of faith, that step of belief, trust, Morpheus assures him,
all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
There you go. There you go. And Jesus said that. And this is your linchpin verse for this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, when you are sitting on the couch with your friend watching The Matrix and you say, man, this movie has Christ written all over it. Well, what do you mean? Look at Morpheus. Look at Morpheus and Neo. And remember what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So, Morpheus is the Christ figure.
Oh,
he is the Messiah in this. Neo is the lost. He's lost because he's in the Matrix.
Yeah,
he's in bondage. He's in slavery to sin. And here comes Morpheus and offers him, "Follow me, and I'll make you free."
Ooh.
What do you think?
I like it. Now here's my question.
Okay.
One of my questions. You know, Jesus says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Morpheus says, I'm only offering the truth.
Mm-hmm.
This truth that Morpheus is talking about, what all is entailed in there? And, you know, my perception is that the truth is that the human race is being controlled, or just in this story.
Okay.
That the human race is being controlled by robots that technically only grow humans for
power.
so they can eat them because they,
well, it's power. They need the power.
Cause he's got that, they show the picture of Morpheus holding up a battery.
Yes.
and it's just to be consumed.
In order to power their race, they live off of the human race.
That reminds me of one of my favorite quotes from the Screwtape Letters.
What's that?
Screwtape tells Wormwood, he says, and he's referring to, you know, the fellow demons. He says, we want, oh, what is this? I had it memorized. We want cattle that will finally become food. He, referring to, you know, referring to God, he wants servants that will finally become sons. And like, I'm getting that same feeling from this truth that Morpheus is talking about, because the AI, even though, you know, it was technically created by man, the tables have turned and the AI is running the show.
Well, in the real world, Morpheus and those who have been set free, those who were born free, they know that those that are plugged into the Matrix are not fulfilling their true potential.
Right.
Because they are in bondage and they don't know it. So they are freeing them in order to, well, obviously the whole goal is to defeat the AI, right? The machines.
Right, right.
But in order to do that, you have to be able to live to your full potential. In order for Christians to go out and spread the good news, in order to fulfill the Great Commission, we have to be living up to our potential, don't we?
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a legalistic way. Oh, if you don't, you know, do A, B, C, and D, then, you know, you got big problems. But as we are wont to serve the Master, not because we like what falls from the Master's table, as Hank Hanegraaff says, but because we love the Master, right? In other words, we don't love him because what he gives us. We love him because he is lovable.
Right.
And that is going to manifest itself in us living up to our potential. We talked about that on Youth Challenge Today, episode number 20. That makes us free to perform when we're saved. If you're in the Matrix, you're not free to perform.
No, you're shackled up.
Yes.
You're connected to all these tubes, yes, and whatnot.
And sin is going to dictate what you're going to do. If you are in bondage to sin, it's going to dictate. You don't have the freedom. You don't have the freedom to not do that. Right? So, I mean, that's the way that I see it. What other thoughts do you have? Any?
I just talking about that, it makes me think of what Morpheus says. I've seen the dead liquefied in order to feed the living.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Yep.
Just imagery.
Now, going back in, you had some sound clips. I don't know if you want to use them, but I can see how we can tie them into this show right now.
Good. I was hoping you would, because I couldn't.
So here we go. Now, Neo is freed from his bondage, and Morpheus is trying to get him to see what his full potential is, right?
In other words, he's trying to encourage,
yes,
Neo. Because right now, Neo doesn't believe anything of it. Well, he sees it. He's having a hard time accepting it as the truth, as what Morpheus is saying. Neo's having a hard time accepting this new reality that's around him.
And he will not take advantage of his freedom. And in the fight simulator, finally, they're going back and forth, and finally, Morpheus has this to say.
What are you waiting for? You're faster than this. Don't think you are. Know you are.
Oh.
Yeah. Right now, Morpheus right there. He's working on Neo's perception.
Yep.
Because right now, Morpheus knows. Morpheus, in his heart of hearts, he knows that Neo is the one, and is trying to get Neo to realize it. And he knows that in order for that to happen, Neo's got to change his mind a little bit.
Now, many people would want to make Neo the messianic figure in the story. The one, okay?
Yeah.
But here's the beauty of it, is that those that are in Christ are the one. We are the chosen ones because we are in him. All who are in him are chosen to do so. And so Morpheus is trying to explain this to him. He can't grasp that. And in fact, he thinks that Morpheus is trying to trick him.
I know what you're trying to do. I'm trying to free your mind, Neo. But I can only show you the door. You're the one that has to walk through it.
Powerful,
yes.
Powerful.
Yes.
And Brandon, I see pretty clearly here Morpheus as Jesus and Neo as the chosen one.
Yeah.
You know, he is chosen because he's in Christ and freed from that bondage. And here is our elder brother explaining, hey, don't think that you're free from that bondage. Know you are, and know that you are free to perform. Wow.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Ooh. We have one more sound clip, right?
Oh.
that third one.
Just for fun?
Yeah, just for fun.
Come on, stop trying to hit me and hit me.
Yeah. That's
it. All right. Voicemail, listener feedback, comments, anything that we find on the internet, any way that anybody contacts us, that's this segment of the show. Brendan, we might be able to get out here in an hour.
I knew it would happen.
Okay, my buddy Fletch from Homeschooling in Real Life. You can get over there at homeschoolingirl.com. He sent me a message, says, I love the podcast. Listen to the most recent, and that would have been episode 14, to and from work yesterday. Great stuff, man. Here are a few questions, items, and discussions. So, number one, please tell me you guys are going to watch and discuss M. Night Shyamalan's, I said it correctly.
That's right.
The Village.
Ooh.
I put it on the list. It is on the list. Ooh, he goes on, he says, and discuss how it's a direct replication of the conservative homeschool movement locked away in the family integrated church. He says, ouch. Was that a comment too close to home for some of our own people? Now, Fletch and his family, his wife, they homeschool their kids. Fletch has a ton of kids, and he and his wife do that homeschooling podcast. So he is going to be looking at these things from a homeschooling perspective, and I appreciate that. And maybe we can sneak in something a little bit, but we are going to make sure that when we watch that, we're going to pull out a tool for sharing the gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. His second thing, and we put a link to this in our show notes. That's our actual Google Doc that you can get to by reading the blog post, and there's a link down at the bottom. He says, here is another example from the Harry Potter movies where I saw culture and the Christian homeschooling movement colliding head on. And so there's a link to his blog, themangotimes.com, but the full link is in our show notes. Anybody else?
Yeah, we had some more feedback from our lucky lady, Lindsay Slaughter.
Lindsay!
Lindsay Slaughter. Now, you know, during the show, we like to live stream it at gctnetwork.com/live.
Yes.
And, you know, to be honest, I kind of forget that window is open.
Yeah. Well, we have the chat room in there as well.
Yes, we also have the chat room.
And so what we're doing each Thursday, normally we turn on the camera at about 2 or 2:30 or so, and there's you know, some pre-show stuff that doesn't make it to the podcast, but the camera's on. You can interact with us. You can watch us in the studio here at the GCT Network Studios like we're doing right now.
You can interact with us if we remember.
If we remember, and that's what happened, because last episode, Lindsay popped into the chat room. and
Lindsay, I'm so sorry that I missed you, and...
Yeah, she says, hey, I'm finally catching my first live stream. I wish my computer wasn't being so finicky, but I'll fill in the gaps when I listen to the podcast. And neither one of us responded to her in the chat room, and we feel terrible about that.
We do.
So, Lindsay, you have a good talk with Brendan about that and give him the what for.
a good scolding.
Anything else?
No, I feel this electrical current.
Oh,
right,
do you?
Three, two, one, nine. It's those electrolytes you were talking about earlier.
Yes, it was. The lightning round. What do you want to share?
Oh, okay. I'll go first.
Okay.
A while back, Michael, you posted something on Facebook, I think,
If it's like, if you ever wanted to get familiar with N.T. Wright's theology, he's on sale right now. Like, who is this guy? So I bought the book that was on sale that day.
Nice.
Simply Christian. It was like, it was a good deal because that book sells for like $30. And a good hard copy,
yeah,
about $25 to $30.
Wow!
For the electric copy that you linked to, $297.
Oh,
yeah,
a deal at twice the price.
Yes, at more than,
yes,
like 10 times the price.
And so,
it's called Simply Christian: Why Christianity Makes Sense. And I got the link to the Amazon page. I'm about halfway through it, but I started reading it months ago when I first got it. And
well, it's heavy.
It,
you, right?
It is heavy. Yeah. It is heavy. It is so heavy. I just got to the part where he says that, you know, since we are temples of the Holy Spirit, that in a sense means that we are the place that Christians now become, the place where heaven and earth meet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that is so deep. Oh man!
And it's even a bit life-altering. You don't have it on.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes.
But yeah. I would. I would highly suggest reading. That's capital N period, capital T period, Wright, Wright. I'm reading his book, Simply Christian.
Amen. Hey, I'm speaking of books. I'm reading a book right now that I got on Amazon as well, The Fire That Consumes, a biblical and historical study of the doctrine of final punishment by Edward William Fudge. I got the third edition or revision. It has been in print since like 1982 or 3, right around there, the very early 80s. It is an amazing book on eschatology, the study of final things. What actually happens once we pass on from this life into the next? Well, that's been debated for quite a long time, and there are basically two views. There's what's called the traditionalist view and the conditionalist view. And Mr. Fudge is a conditionalist. In other words, he is of that school of thought that that the final destination of the wicked is complete and total annihilation, whereas the saved get eternal life. And so what he did was, after from all the years of his book being in publication, it is considered the standard on the subject, and so many people have written books refuting his book. And so what he does in this edition is dedicate time at the end of each chapter, and sometimes right there within a chapter, to say, here are some of the criticisms of what I have written and proposed, and here is my response to that. It is equally deep. This is not something that you get as an audible book. You can't have this thing written to you. But
no.
I heard the other day from the preacher at the church that I attend that there's a movie about this, The Fire That Consumes. And I believe it's been out for a couple years, so I'm going to have to look into that.
How do you make a movie?
I don't know. Maybe documentary style or what have you.
Oh, okay.
Maybe
okay.
a little Ken Burns action there. A little, I don't know. But anyhow, what, zooming in and panning on medieval paintings of people burning and suffering in hell with devils tormenting them?
With a nice little voiceover.
Yeah,
That explains what's happening.
So anyway, there is a link to that in the show notes as well, and it's the same situation as Brendan's. You can buy a hard, you know, a paper copy of it for, you know, $40, or you can get the e-book version for $9.99. Guess which one I went with?
That cheaper one.
Hey, what are we going to talk about on the next episode?
Well, next episode, we you know, we've had this request for a while from the patron saint, Ron of the Red Oaks. we're gonna talk about Aragorn.
Oh, nice.
Which at first I thought was a typo of dragon, because you know, he just changed the E to a D and you got dragon.
Oh, but I never noticed that. That's part of the, I believe that's the Dragon Rider series. And so my wife and my oldest daughter will be very excited about that. And looking forward to that and finding Christian themes in there. We skipped a couple of things here. Any breaking news that you have caught?
None that I could find.
No breaking news.
None worth mentioning.
We have you all up to date on all the Star Wars news that you need.
That's right.
How about listener participation, Brendan?
Well, yeah, we just want to put out the question, what Christian themes have you found in the first Matrix film? Now, I'm tempted to go ahead and ask for what have you found in the whole trilogy, because eventually...
Would you give us some pointers?
Eventually, we will get to the trilogy.
Yes.
Then again, of course, we will eventually finish Harry Potter.
Star Wars.
And we will finish Star Wars.
We got to get to Lord of the Rings.
We got to get Lord of the Rings. We will finish the Hunger Games.
Yes.
But if something does strike you, you know, don't be afraid and don't hesitate to send it in.
Absolutely. And our list, the list, is growing, and we're going to start hitting on those, starting with the next episode for Patron Saint Ron of the Red Oaks on that. But anything else?
No.
You've been tuned in to Finding Christ in Cinema. It's part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, using new media and social networking to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com. For the podcast, for Brendan's Monday Movie Review, for my family movie night articles, for everything Finding Christ in Cinema, get to the official website at ChristInCinema.com. You can send emails. You have ideas and comments, editorials, piggybacks, off-the-wall remarks, any of those good things. Let us know via email to FCC@GCTNetwork.com.
Call us up on the voice line at 507-407-GCTN. And for those without letters on your phones, that's 507-407-4286. Follow us on Twitter at Christ in Cinema, Michael. Or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/GCT Network.
You can add us to your Google Plus circles at google.com/the+GCT Network. Follow us on YouTube at youtube.com/GCTN TV.
Or just look us up on iTunes, look us up on Stitcher, and look us up at TuneIn Radio. Just search the stores for Finding Christ in Cinema.
And for all the things that are produced by the Great Commission Transmission Network, get over to the official site at GCTNetwork.com. Brendan, anything else?
No, I tried to find a good Matrix pun. I couldn't find one.
And that's a wrap! It's a
I'm a miracle man.
Or a sad, strange little man.
Come on, stop trying to hit me and hit me.
You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
At GCTNetwork.com.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
Good night, Diane Sawyer.
What?
The arsonist had oddly shaped feet.